The first reading today, the prophet Isaiah talks about how on the mountain, the Lord of hosts, God, will provide for his people. He's going to provide rich food, choice wines. He's going to destroy the death. He's going to do all these things on that holy mountain. We hear in the gospel reading how our Lord healed people, he fed them, that he had gone up this mountain, the mountain near the Sea of Galilee. That's not the mountain that Isaiah would be talking about. But at the same time, we see that it is, on one hand, a fulfillment of what was spoken. But when we look a little further, we ask ourselves, where did our Lord destroy death? Where did he remove the reproach of his people? Where do we say, behold, our God who came to save us? That was on the mountain in Jerusalem, where our Lord was crucified. And so one Saturday evening, if you were here, I was explaining that when we hear about the mountain of the Lord in this kind of a context, we see it certainly as Jerusalem, Mount Zion, as the place of the Lord, but we have to understand it in a different way. Because otherwise, for us today, we could say, well, that was nice that these people could come to our Lord with the blind and the lame and the deaf and so on, and they were healed, but what about us? The mountain of the Lord is the person of Jesus Christ. And the way we understand that was written in the prophet Daniel. When King Nebuchadnezzar had that vision, the dream of the statue of gold and silver and bronze and steel and tile and so on. And Daniel interpreted the dream and said, those are four kingdoms that are going to rule the entire world. And so there were. Nebuchadnezzar was the gold, then there was the Persians, the Medes, and there was the Greek, and there was the Romans. The Romans, as Daniel talked about, they had their kingdom set up by intermarriage, which was the tile and the steel, and it didn't fit together very well. But then we hear about the fact that during the time of that fourth kingdom, that there was going to be a stone that was hewn without human hands being put to it. And that stone would crush that statue. It turned it into dust, and it was blown away. But then that stone grew and became a mountain that filled the whole earth. That's the person of Jesus. And that's the part that we have to understand. Now, did Isaiah understand that? Probably not, because Daniel's prophecy came several hundred years after Isaiah wrote this. And yet at the same time, it's not about what Isaiah understood. It's about what God was telling us was going to happen. So how the people might have understood it at the time, which of course they would have looked at it and said, well, that's talking about Jerusalem. And it's important to understand because this part of Isaiah would have been written about the time of the exile. So then the people looking at it and saying, well, we'll go back to Jerusalem, to the Lord's mountain. That's where we're going to get instruction. That's where we're going to be fed. That's where all these things are going to happen. So for them in that context, that's what they would have been looking at. But that's not fully what God intended. So what he intends is for us to be able to look at his son. Because there on that holy mountain, he feeds us with the choicest food, himself, in the Holy Eucharist. It is on that mountain that he destroys death in his crucifixion. It is there that he has removed the reproach of his people from the whole earth, because he nailed our sins to the cross, he took them to himself, and he has, through his blood, brought about the forgiveness of our sins. It is there that we can say that we look to our God who saves us, because that's where we are saved. Yes, it was on the mountain in Jerusalem, but in this case, the mountain is the person of the Lord. Just as we can look and say the temple is the Lord. Yes, there was a temple in Jerusalem. But remember, Jesus said, destroy this temple, and I will raise it up in 3 days. And he was speaking of the temple of his body. So again, all these things, what we have to be able to do is recognize that this isn't just something that was spoken for a couple of thousand years ago. This is something that continues, not physically so much, but spiritually, because to this day, we still have the Holy Eucharist, the finest food. We still have the forgiveness of our sins, the removal of the reproach. We still have death being destroyed. All of the things that were prophesied, they did happen on a mountain, but they continue to happen because the mountain is not a physical place called Jerusalem. The mountain is the one who founded Jerusalem. It is God. It is the Lord who came to us. So that's how we have to be able to understand these things, so that we don't just look at it and say, well, that was great for those people, but what about for us? Like, no, it was wonderful for those people, and what we have is infinitely more wonderful. Because we don't just have a physical mountain that we can go to that a building is built on top of. We have the Lord Jesus himself. He is there for us 24 hours a day, for us to be able to come, to be with him, to receive him, to receive the healing, the spiritual healing that we need, to be able to receive the destruction of death, to be able to receive the forgiveness of our sins. All these things are there in the person of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so while we see on one hand how our Lord in his lifetime fulfilled all of these things on a practical way, we also have to look at it in a much larger way, that continues to be fulfilled in him, but in each one of us. Just as all these people came to him and he healed them and he fed them and did all these things, that is what he continues to do for you and me. If we are willing to come to him, he will remove our spiritual blindness. He will open the ears of our souls to hear his word. He will help us to be able to do his will. All the things that we look at, what happened physically, yes, he can still heal us physically if that's his will, but far greater is the spiritual healing. Far greater is the spiritual food with which he feeds us. Far greater is all that he does for our soul. It's wonderful if he does something for somebody's body. That's nice. The body's going to die anyway. The soul is what is redeemed. The soul is going to live forever. And that's where that needs to be understood, to see this stuff not only in just a physical and practical way, to see it in a spiritual way, and to apply it to ourselves and recognize that not only has this been fulfilled 2,000 years ago, it continues to be fulfilled in each one of us.